Bibles with me, if you would, please, and turn first to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians, chapter 2. I ask you to hold your finger there, and then turn over to Matthew, chapter 15. Matthew, chapter 15. You know, faith is an amazing thing. Amen? I look in the Bible, and beloved, I see great, great, great men of faith and women of faith. And faith, beloved, is so important to us. And yet, faith seems to be a mystery to most Christians. And that's what I want to talk with you about tonight. I want to talk with you about the mystery of faith. The mystery of faith. Look with me in Matthew chapter 15, reading one verse of Scripture, verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And then look over in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to read two verses of Scripture, verse 8 and verse 9. And the Bible says, For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's pray. Almighty God, Lord, we thank Thee again for the privilege and the joy to gather in Thy name, in Thy house. God, we come with our cups uplifted. We ask You, Father God, to fill them to overflowing tonight. God, we ask You to open our understanding, to help us, God, to understand this marvelous thing called faith. I pray, God, Lord, that, God, as we receive that You have for us, that, God, it will illuminate our minds and our hearts. Because truly, God, faith is one thing that can change our lives, that can change our church. God, that can do marvelous, wonderful things for us. We ask You, Father, to take control. We ask You, Lord, to glorify Thy Son tonight. And God, we'll be sure to give You the praise and You the glory for everything that's accomplished. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray. Amen. I'm sure this scripture in Ephesians is familiar to everybody here. You know, these verses, beloved, deal with the grace of God. But this passage, beloved, is the passage that proves once and for all that we are not saved by works, but we're saved by the grace of God. But you know, it's not grace and works that I want to talk with you about tonight. It's faith. It's faith. The Bible says here, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but it is a gift of God. Beloved, if I were to name the five most important things in the Bible, other than God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son and the Holy Ghost, beloved, faith would be one of those five things. You see, faith, beloved, is absolutely necessary for salvation. You cannot be saved without faith. Amen? You can't. Beloved, faith is the key to all God's blessings. Beloved, faith is essential. Listen to me. Essential to answered prayer. Faith, beloved, is what pleases God. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. So nothing that we do can please God if, beloved, faith is not involved. Faith, beloved, is the key to all that God has. Faith moves the hand of Almighty God. So essential, beloved, is faith to us that Romans 14, verse 27 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now let that sink in for just a moment. Beloved, whatsoever we do is that is not of faith God says it's sin. It's sin. By faith, beloved, all things are ours. Faith, beloved, is the foundation of holy living. Faith is the title to all of God's possessions. Oh, how important, beloved, faith is to us. Without it, you cannot be saved. Without it, you cannot have your prayers answered. Without it, beloved, you can't please God. Without it, beloved, all you do is sin. Oh, listen, faith is so important to us as Christians. So essential, beloved. Yet faith is a mystery to the vast majority of Christians. Now tonight, beloved, I want with God's help to help you understand faith, to understand the mystery of faith. I want you to understand what faith is and where it comes from and how we can increase our faith. And beloved, how you and I can become people of great faith. Because if we can understand these things, folks, it'll change our lives. If we can grab hold of these great spiritual truths, let me tell you, it'll change our church. It'll do great things, beloved, for the work of God. If we can understand this, it'll open the door. It'll open the door to blessings and answered prayers. Beloved, it'll make us great for God. First of all, what is faith? And where does faith come from? Beloved, faith, now follow me. Faith is trust and confidence in that which you cannot see. That, beloved, which you cannot touch. That, beloved, which you cannot handle. As Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Beloved, faith is believing in that you cannot see because God said it. Amen. Because God said it. And believing in it, beloved, to the point that it is evidence, listen, by the way you act and by what you do and by the way you think and the way you live. Let me give you an example. Bible says, beloved, that Jesus, God's Son, beloved, took a body of flesh, was born of a virgin. Amen? Born of a virgin, came to this earth, beloved, and he went to the cross, and there he died for your sin and my sin, and rose again the third day. And through him, beloved, we can have eternal life. That's what the Bible says. That's what God says. But, beloved, you can't see the virgin birth, can you? I mean, we can't see, beloved, his sinless life. We can't see him dying on that cross, bearing our sins. We can't see, beloved, him raised from the dead that glorious third day. But if you truly believe, if you truly have faith, that which you can't see becomes real to you. Becomes real to you. And beloved, it will be evidenced by you receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. It will be evidenced by your devotion and your dedication to Him. It'll be evidenced by the life that you live. Now, if you don't believe that, then you won't accept Him. Then you won't follow Him. Then you won't live for Him. You know, many, many people today say they believe, but also many really don't. They really don't. You say, why do you say that? Because there's no evidence in their life. No substance, beloved, that they are living for. The Bible says that the lost die and spend eternity in hell, in torment. Do we have faith in that? Do we really believe that? If we do, beloved, then we pray for them and we witness to them, and we cry over them. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. Bible says that Jesus is coming again. Says one great day, beloved, He'll descend in the clouds, and with the voice trump of God and the voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ will rise. We that are alive and remain will be caught up together to be with Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Bible says those left behind will enter, beloved, that tribulation period. Do we have faith in that? I mean, you know, we can't see Jesus coming, can we? Not yet. Not yet. We can't, beloved, see the dead rise. We can't see Antichrist or the tribulation period. But, beloved, if we have faith, we will treat these things, beloved, as substance. We'll treat them, beloved, as things that we can see through eyes of faith. Through eyes of faith. And we'll show forth evidence. We'll show forth evidence by witnessing to the lost because Jesus is coming. We know He's coming. We know it because God said it. We'll evidence it, beloved, by having a holy urgency about us to do the work and by working as we never worked before. That's faith, folks. Treating the unseen things as if, beloved, we can see them or we could touch them, and showing forth the evidence of our faith by what we do and what we are and the way that we live and what we say. But when or where? Where does faith come from? That's a good question. As I've said before, beloved, the answer may surprise you. Beloved, too many people believe that faith, beloved, comes from inside of us. That somehow, somewhere, beloved, within us, faith springs up. It doesn't. It doesn't. Beloved, man cannot, listen to me, man cannot generate faith. We can't force ourselves to believe, beloved. It doesn't come from within us. Faith, listen to me, real faith, beloved, true faith comes from God. It comes from God. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 8 again. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that, what is that? Faith. And that faith, beloved, that faith, the Bible tells us, beloved, is not of yourselves. It doesn't come from you. It is the gift of God. It's the gift of God. Beloved, faith is a gift of God. God gives you faith. Somebody said, wait a minute, preacher. If God gives us faith, then why does God blame anyone? I mean, why does He blame those for not believing on Jesus? Why does He blame those for not believing the Bible? Why does He blame those for not believing in the rapture? Preacher, evidently He didn't give them faith. We can't generate faith, you say, so why does He blame them? Here's the way it works, folks. God gives every man the measure of faith. The measure of faith. Turn in your Bibles, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Let me see if I got it. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Yes, I do. Romans 12 and verse 3. Listen to this. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. God gives to every man the measure of faith, beloved, not a measure of faith, but the measure of faith. Beloved, listen, Faith is a measure. Now, we don't know what that measure is, but it is the measure of faith. And God gives to every man the same measure of faith. The same measure. Oh, but listen. What we do with that measure is up to us. And that's where our responsibility comes in. Beloved, suppose I gave Tabby and Amy $20 apiece. That was the measure that I gave to them. And they got that $20 each one, and they can do anything they want with that $20. I mean, if Amy wants to buy hula hoops, she can buy hula hoops with it. If Tabby wants to buy chitlins with hers, she can buy chitlins with her $20. Amen? Or they may split it up, you know. They may take 10, they may get $10 worth of hula hoops, and Amy may say, them chitlins smell good. I want $10 worth of chitlins too. But they've got it, beloved, and they can use it however they want. Amen? Because I gave them the measure. And they can use it, beloved, as they will. But listen to me. It is limited as to what they do. In other words, they can spend $20 apiece. But that's all. And then it's gone. And then it's gone. Beloved, God has given to every man the measure of faith. Now, man can take that measure. And beloved, he can put all that faith on God. Or he can put it on man, or he can put it in science, or he can put it in education, or he can put it wherever he chooses. He can split it up. He can put part of it here and part of it yonder. But beloved, if he puts it in man and science, listen, he has that much that he cannot put in God. That much. That he can't put in God. Here's a man, he's so wrapped up in money. I mean, money is everything to him. That's what he lives for. It's money, money, money. Beloved, his faith, that measure of faith that God gave him, is in money. He's put it in money. Now, he may have no faith left, beloved, to put in God or to put in what God says. Here's a woman, you know, and she puts her faith in family. I mean, she, you know, family's everything. And she puts her faith in family. And she may have nothing left to put into God or put in God. Here's a person. They may have faith in their job. I mean, they live and breathe, beloved, for their job. And that, listen, they may have no faith left to put in God. Or they may, beloved, have little faith to put in God. To put in God. What I'm trying to tell you, folks, is that faith comes from God. And that every man, beloved, starts out with the measure of faith. And if you put your faith in the wrong things, folks, you have little or nothing left to put in God. To put in God. So God gives you faith. But folks, we are accountable for where we put that faith. Amen? What we put that faith in. Somebody says, okay, preacher, what about those who have great faith? Listen to me. Everyone's faith begins with the measure. But, beloved, faith can grow. Faith can be strengthened. Amen? Talk to me now. This is important stuff, folks. Bible tells us, beloved, it talks about being strong in faith. Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. 2 Thessalonians 1 through 3. But anyway, 2 Thessalonians says, I can't read my writing. Says, Paul says, ye your faith groweth exceedingly. It grown. Your faith has grown. Folks, it's when our faith grows. It's when, beloved, our faith is strengthened. That's how we, beloved, achieve great faith. Like that woman had. Great faith. And you know, that's what we want. Don't you want great faith? Don't you want, beloved, when you have a need, you come to God and you fall on your knees and pray. And you know in your heart that prayer is going to be answered because you prayed in faith. I wonder how many prayers, beloved, God would answer but doesn't because we don't have the faith. I wonder. I mean, what? Don't you want to please God? The greater your faith, hey, the more pleasing you are to God. Amen? Don't you want to please God? Of course we do. We want that great faith. We want our faith to grow. We want it to be strengthened. Now, how does our faith grow? How is it strengthened? It grows, beloved, listen to me, by hearing the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God. Turn in your Bibles. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Listen to verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by what? By the Word of God. Folks, the more you hear God's Word, the more your faith grows. The more you hear God's Word, beloved, the stronger your faith becomes. That's why, beloved, you need to attend services. That's why, beloved, you need to read your Bible. That's why, beloved, you need to come on Wednesday night and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Sunday school. You need to hear the Word of God because the more you hear God's Word, the stronger your faith grows. The stronger your faith grows. Now, that's the positive side. But let me give you the negative. You know, wherever you got a positive, you got a negative. Amen? So here's the negative. Likewise, beloved, the less you hear the Word of God, the weaker your faith becomes. So you know, when you miss that service, beloved, you are hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself. You are hurting your faith. Oh, listen, the more you hear, the stronger your faith gets. That's why I tell you, beloved, I can pick out those, beloved, who won't be with us long. Because you see, when I see people start missing services and missing services, beloved, I know that if they don't get it right and repent, beloved, that soon we will see them no more because their faith will wane. Their faith will wane. You want to have great faith? You want to have strong faith? You want to have, beloved, growing faith? Then expose yourself to God's Word. It's just like feeding your body. You know, when you feed your body, you grow. Amen? Now, a lot of us now at our age are growing the wrong way. But when you feed your body, you grow. Amen? Don't you, Martha? We grow, don't we, should? Okay. No slight intended. We grow. Beloved, when you feed your faith grows. It grows. It grows. It's just like feeding your body. You want your faith to grow? You want your faith, beloved, to be strengthened? Then exercise your faith. Exercise your faith. In other words, use your faith. You know, too many times we as Christians, you know what we do? Boy, we grab hold of faith to get saved. Amen? Because we can't be saved without it. Amen? We get saved. You know, by faith, we're saved. But then, beloved, we get up from the altar and we go out and try to live our lives not in faith, but by sight. By sight. And we never exercise our faith. It's just like your body again. Beloved, if you exercise your body, you grow. You grow stronger. Amen? I mean, we've got some girls that are going to take an exercise. And boy, I can look at them. They're getting stronger. I'm telling you. Amen? Amen. They're getting stronger. Where's Mandy at? Getting slim and trim and strong, ain't you, Mandy? I mean, you know, they're exercising. And, beloved, it strengthens them. And it's the same with faith, beloved. The more we use our faith, the stronger our faith gets. The stronger it gets. But, you know, too many times we Christians, we don't want to step out in faith, do we? We don't want to do it. See, we want to be able to see everything. And what is faith? The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. But we want to see everything. We want, beloved, to be able to understand everything. That's not faith, folks. And remember, beloved, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Preacher, we can't give to missions. We don't have the funds. Preacher, we can't sponsor this youth program because we don't have the income. Preacher, we can't do a building program because we don't have the monies. So what do we got to do? We got to step in faith. We got to step in faith. And I'm going to tell you, a church, beloved, that doesn't operate in faith, something is bad, bad, bad. First, they're not pleasing to God. They're not pleasing to God. I mean, you look, beloved, at churches. Most of the churches we look and we see their buildings and we see their fellowship halls and we see their family life centers. Very few churches, beloved, have funds on hand to do that. But they step out in faith. That's how they accomplish it, beloved. They exercise faith, and by faith, they got what they have. By faith. We've got a budget coming up. You know, every year, we get up a budget, and we present it to the church. And every year, I think except for one year, it's more. The budget is more than it was the year before. And we break it down for you. You know, this is how much we'll have to take in a week and so forth and so on to meet this budget. And you know, beloved, every year that budget has been more than what we are taking in at that point in time. But do you know, beloved, every year the church votes that budget in? And do you know there has not been one year when we did not exceed the budget? You know how that was? Faith. We took a step in faith. And God honors faith. Amen? I mean, we take this to God and we say, God, this is what we need. This is what we need to do what we feel like you're leading us to do. And we take that step in faith. And beloved, God has honored it every time, every time. Now, we got a budget to present to y'all. Or we're going to have to get a budget up to present to y'all within the next week or so. And I can tell you right now, y'all get ready. Get ready. Because, beloved, it's going to take a step of faith. I mean, we've got this new building and we've got new expenses. And, folks, it's going to take a step of faith. But you know what? If we step out in faith, Our God is going to honor, beloved, our faith. And God's going to supply what we need. And you know, we present a budget and somebody looks at it and says, oh, wow, we can't do that. No, we can't. But praise God, our God can. Our God can. Preacher, I tell you, that's just, Boy, you know, when you're used to reasoning instead of walking by faith, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard. But, beloved, God honors faith. God honors faith. And what we need to do, if we want our faith to grow and be strong, brother, we got to exercise it. We got to walk by faith and not by sight. And thank God, so far we have. We have as a church. We walk by faith. We had that building over there. And I know that building is not much. But you know, beloved, when we saw that thing the first time, this church had just gotten started. We hadn't been started 7 months. And we heard that place was for sale. We came over here and looked at it, and brother, it looked like the most beautiful church I'd ever seen in my life. And I went and asked that man, I asked the realtor, I said, what do you want for that church? And he looked at me and he said, make an offer. He said, the bank's got it. They do not want to foreclose on a church. Make us an offer. Now, we hadn't been started but 7 months. We had no history. We had nothing. And, beloved, listen, they won't even pay in the preacher. The preacher won't get paid because they didn't have nothing to pay him with. And we got the folks together and I said, folks, he said, make an offer. I said, now we have nothing. We got to take a step by faith. And the church voted unanimous. We're going to take a step by faith. So we put down a number. And it was ridiculous. It really was. We gave that, and I took it to the realtor and I handed it to him. I said, sir, I said, this is what we can offer for the church. I said, we have just gotten started. I said, I know it's pitiful. I said, just don't laugh when you look at it. He looked at it, beloved, and bless his heart, he did not laugh. He said, I'll present it to the church, to the bank. He went to the bank with our offer, and we were praying. Boy, we were praying. We had offered $27,500 for the land and the church, and that little fellowship building. That little fellowship building at that time was worth $30,000. The church was valued at $60,000. So you're talking about $90,000, and that's not counting the land. It was an acre of land. And beloved, he came back and he said, the bank refused it. And I said, well, how much would they take? And he looked at me and he winked. Can't wink. He winked. And he said, up at $1,000. And we offered $28,500. And he took it to the bank and they accepted it. Take a step. Amen. Take a step. That's our church over there. Amen. Amen. That's our church. And it served us well. And it's still serving us. But beloved, that's faith. That's faith. That's faith. And that little handful of people stepped out in faith. Listen, that 28.5 was like it was like 500,000 to us. Sir? Oh, really? Oh. Yes, sir. Is that right? Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's right. And look, just look. Look now, he's bringing up a good point. Look what that one step of faith has given us. Started with that one step. With that one step. But you got to exercise your faith. You know, a lot of folks, and I'm ashamed to say, beloved, a lot of Christians would have looked at that and said, hey, we got to have the money before we can do anything. No, what we've got to have is faith in an all-powerful God that, beloved, will do as He said He will do. You know, faith's a funny thing. You use it and you get what you have faith for. Amen? You get what you have faith for. But that's not all, beloved. The more you use faith, the more faith you get. Amen? The more faith you get. I'll tell you this, if you don't exercise faith, pretty soon, beloved, your faith will die. It will die. See, it's either use it or lose it, one or the other. If you don't use the faith, beloved, you have, listen, you will never see a miracle from God. If you don't use the faith you have, you will never see what your God can do. Amen? But, beloved, if you use it, you're going to see what a glorious God you have. What a glorious God you have. Oh, listen. You want great faith? You want strong faith? Then hear God's Word as much as you can. You want great faith, beloved? Then use the faith that you have. Exercise it. Walk in faith. You want your faith to grow? You want your faith to be strengthened? Take it with you through the trials. Through the trials. You know what a trial is? Somebody says, yeah, preacher, I know, boy, a trial. I've had my share. Trials are heartaches and heartbreaks. Trials are hardships. Trials are troubles. Trials are problems. I know what a trial is. Listen, a trial, beloved, is really a trial of your faith. Of your faith. And you, beloved, it's a testing of your faith. And listen to me. That trial is a precious, precious thing. You say, preacher, you're crazy. No, sir. That's Bible. That's Bible. Look in your Bibles. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. You know, the Bible says sometimes some very hard things, don't it? But, beloved, guess what? It's always true. It's always true. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season it may be ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know what Peter's saying? He's saying that trial you're going through, it's really something to rejoice about. Isn't that hard? I told you sometimes the Bible says some hard things. It's really something to rejoice about. Though you have heaviness of heart, rejoice. Because, beloved, it is a trial of your faith. And, beloved, if you come through that trial of faith, beloved, that's going to be to the honor and glory of Christ. What a golden opportunity God has given us when the trials come. You say, preacher, you sound like you've never had none. Oh, let me tell you. Had plenty of them. But I believe the book. I believe what God says. And you know what? Beloved, time and time and time again, trial after trial after trial, even though there was heaviness of heart, I found it to be true. I found it to be true. Folks, that trial, through that trial, your faith, it's tested. It's tested. And if your faith, beloved, withstands the test, listen, your faith will be strengthened. Amen? Your faith, beloved, will be greater. Will be greater. Every person, beloved, who was great for God in the Bible, you can check it out. You can go down the list, beloved. Abraham, Jacob, go on down, beloved, David. Go through all the great men, beloved, were men of great faith, and they had faith through their trials. Through their trials. One of the strongest ladies I ever knew. There was a lady that lived just outside of Macclesfield. Her name was Daphne Phillips. Anybody know her? I know Miss Poodle was here. She'd know her. Miss Daphne Phillips, when I got to know Miss Daphne, she was flat of her back with cancer. She could not get out of bed. I went to visit that lady, and I began to talk to her. And beloved, I'm going to tell you, I've never seen faith like that. I mean, she had, and she was in pain. She was suffering. She was dying. But she had such faith in God. And beloved, there on that bed in pain, dying, she, beloved, in her, she and I would start rejoicing at God and God's goodness and God's grace and God's mercy. And beloved, we just had hallelujah times in that little bedroom. She had such faith. I held her hand when she took her last breath. I was holding her hand. And beloved, she had the biggest smile on her face. In fact, beloved, before she got to that point, she told me, she said, "Preacher, just think it won't be long. And I'm going to see my Jesus. I'm going to see my Jesus." And praise God, she saw Him. And she's seeing Him right now. And I hope, beloved, when I get there, I would not be surprised if she ain't holding the door open for me. And she's going to take me right to Jesus' feet. Oh, let me tell you, that woman had faith. You know, she told me one time. She said, "Preacher," and I want to be sure I get this right, so I don't want to mess it up. So let me look at my note here. She said, "Preacher," she said, "I'd rather have cancer and have the faith that I have now than to be well and be like I was before." You see, before, beloved, her faith was weak. She told me herself, she was a so-so Christian. You know, go once in a while, you know, and so forth and so on, like so many do. She said, "I'd rather have cancer and have the faith that I have now than not have cancer and be like I was before." That's faith. That's faith. Too many times, Christians, when we go through trials, we try to make it ourselves. We try to make it through ourselves. Listen to me, folks. When you face that trial, take your faith with you. Take it with you. Depend on God and not yourself. Take God at His Word. This is a trial of your faith. And not to depend on God is to fail the test. Beloved, not to trust Him in that time is to fail the test. But if you put, beloved, if you put it in God's hands and depend on Him, when that trial is over, your faith will be stronger. That trial will purify your faith and make it grow. And beloved, Christ will get honor and glory through it. Through it. Listen to me, folks. Faith is so important. You want to please God? We're going to stand before Him one day, as I mentioned this morning. You want to please God? Hey, the way to do it is by faith. By faith. You want your prayers answered. Your prayers for your children and your grandchildren. Your prayers for your loved ones. Your prayers for the needs in your life. Listen to me. You want those prayers answered. It's by faith. It's by faith. You want to be great for God? I mean, be great for God. You can only be great for God by having great faith. Great faith. And the way to do that is to hear the Word and use the faith that you have. Exercise it, beloved. Walk in faith and to take your faith with you. through the trials of life. And that faith will grow. And beloved, you will have great faith. You know, as I said, I think this morning, I say so much, I lose track. But I believe we're living in the last days. Beloved, things are going to wax worse and worse and worse. And many are going to fall to the wayside. Their faith is going to fail. And beloved, as we get closer to that moment when Jesus comes, listen to me, you are going to need strong faith. Great faith. You're going to need it. Cultivate the faith that God has given you. Let it grow. Let it grow. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. How marvelous and wonderful God's Word is. God, beloved, delights in our faith and just believing Him. Trusting Him. We can take our needs, our problems, our trials, our troubles, we can take it to Him. And you know He never refuses us. Beloved, He'll reach down and lift that burden and make it tolerable for us to bear. And He will bear it with us. And beloved, time and time and time and time again, He'll see us through. He'll see us through. Hey, step out in faith. Won't you do that? Come to Him and say, Lord, help me. Help my faith. Increase my faith. God in heaven will hear. And God will do. Won't you come? Won't you come right now?